Last week we delved into Colossians 2. This week I thought, why not stay on the same track and go into Colossians 3? So last week in Colossians we learnt about the secret of living a Christian life, did we not? Who can remember what it is? You didn't write it down. The secret of living a Christian life is living in Christ. Living in Christ. Paul tells us, do not be deceived. Do not forget your first love. Keep your eyes on Jesus. Don't let the world get in there and mess with your faith. Don't let anybody tell you what's not gospel truth. Don't let them pervert the biblical truth. Because we are complete in Christ. Jesus is all that we need. However, there's always a however, isn't there? And even in the Bible, there's buts and howevers. However, it's not enough that we just declare our faith. We have to demonstrate it. We can't just talk the talk. We have to walk the walk. So today in chapter 3, we hear about identity. Paul wants to make sure that the people of Colossae, and subsequently us, know who we are in Christ, our identity in Christ. You will not be able to walk the walk if you don't know who you are. So it's not the question. The question is not just for those people on the screen. The question is for the wider congregation here. Who are you? So if you're not up there, I'm sorry, I couldn't get everybody's faces on there. But who are you? Let me share with you some common worldly identities. You might recognize some of these. My identity is my career. My identity is my culture. My identity is in how I look. My identity is my university degree. It took a long time for me to get one of those. My identity is in my circle of friends. My identity is in the circumstances of my past. My identity is in my children. Let me tell you that none of those are who you are if you're a Christ follower. None of those, and plenty more, are not who you are if you are a Christ follower. Let's read Colossians. Colossians 3, verses 1 to 4 says, since then, you have been raised with Christ. Set your heart on things above, where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on things above, not on earthly things. For you died, and your life is now hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you will also appear with him in glory. Let me read those four verses to you again. But have a look at what is repeated five times in those four verses. Here's a bit of a clue. Since then, you have been raised with Christ. Set your hearts on things above, where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on things above, not on earthly things. For you died, and your life is now hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you will also appear with him in glory. Five times in four verses. Do you think Paul's trying to make a point here? Do you think he's trying to hammer it in that our identity is totally wrapped up in the person of Jesus Christ? Five times he says, with Christ, where Christ, with Christ, when Christ, with him. Do you get it? Since the moment you said yes to following Jesus as your Lord and Savior, your identity is totally wrapped up in Jesus Christ. So let's unpack each one of these. Firstly, we are raised with Christ. So Paul begins, since you have been raised with Christ. Yes, that's right, you're not mishearing it. Yes, you have been raised. When you became a believer, God raised you from the dead. Pretty cool, eh? Just like he raised Jesus from the dead, he raised you from the dead. And it didn't come through any legalism, any mysticism, anything, you know, any magic or anything that you did. It came through Christ's death, burial, resurrection, and ascension. Through Christ's acts, you have been separated from the old life of the world, and you now belong to this heavenly life in Christ. Now, Jesus is not pacing about up there, biting his nails and wringing his hands and stressing about us in any way, shape, or form, because he knows what he's done for you. Just that we need to know and understand who we are in that act. As far as he's concerned, it's finished, job done. We are in Christ. He's not worried about our identity. We have been raised with him, so we can have a different perspective on life. Sometimes, I don't know about you, but I certainly feel that the problems of life are crushing me. The trials that come along, I feel totally over my head and I'm about to sink, and I'm sure you feel the same. But we have to remember that even though they're above our head, they're still under his feet. We have been raised with Christ. We have a new perspective on life. Not only that, Jesus being seated at the right hand of God symbolizes power. Power. And we have access to that power. The same power that raised Jesus from the dead is given to you and me. So when sin rears its ugly head and your flesh wants to have its way, you know, when you just want to eat that chocolate that you shouldn't be eating, or something worse, obviously. Just like you plug a kettle into the wall to power it up to make it work, you can plug yourself into Jesus, into the power, his power. We have access to that power over sin through Jesus dying for us. Secondly, we have died with Christ. Paul says, not only are we alive, but we're dead at the same time. We are dead men walking. Dead to the old way of thinking. Dead to old values. Dead to old behavior. Dead to old actions. Dead to old reactions. Dead. Are you alive to the things you ought to be dead to? Or are you dead to the things you ought to be alive to? Here are some things that you might need to die to. How much you care about other people's opinions. A kind word boosts you, doesn't it? But criticism takes you out at the knees. You need to die to how much you care about owning things, possessions. We don't need earthly stuff. We cannot take it to heaven with us. We need to die to how much we care about our own personal pleasure. The world is not about us. The world does not revolve around us. We need to die to how much we care about our popularity. Do you know that Jesus does not care how many Facebook friends we have or how many Instagram followers we have? He doesn't care how many letters we've got before or after our names. He doesn't care about our social status. He just doesn't care. We need to die to how much we still care about our past sin. Because where is it? It's gone, nailed to the cross. Job done, finished, move on. We need to die to how much we care about our me time. Are you willing to sacrifice your personal time because someone needs encouragement? Or someone needs prayer? Or maybe your spouse or your friend needs to talk to you, or your child wants to play with you. We need to die to those things and so much more. And the reason we have a tough time dying to those things is because we think we deserve them. I think I deserve a bit of me time. But that is self-love and self-pride. rearing its ugly head. Do you know what the only thing we deserve is? A one-way ticket to hell. And I am so glad that God does not give us what we really deserve, because that is what we deserve. Thirdly, we are secure in Christ. Paul says that our lives are hidden with Christ in God. The word hidden suggests safety, does it? Security and safety. Jesus said in John 10, I give them eternal life, and they will never perish, and no one will snatch them out of my hand. We are safe in his hands. Psalm 31 says, our times are in his hands. Isaiah 49 says, we are engraved on the palm of his hands. Not one, no one, not even Satan can separate you from his love, can take us from him. Now, I don't know if you've ever seen this before, but at a marriage ceremony I went to a few years ago, I saw a couple perform what's called the salt covenant. Have you seen the salt covenant? It's beautiful. So the groom came along with what looked like a test tube full of salt, and then the bride came along with a test tube full of salt, and they each poured their salt together into a glass bowl. Two became one in that glass bowl. But what was more clever was there was no way of separating it. You couldn't tell whose was whose. The salt just mingled, and salt is salt is salt, isn't it? And it was just, there was nothing. It was inseparable. Their two lives coming together. And that's what our life in Christ is like. Inseparable. Nothing you can do to change that. That is what Paul is saying here. Our lives are tangled up in God's. Inseparable, secure. Fourthly, our life is Christ. Is Christ. Verse 4 says, Paul says, Christ is our life. Now, children, you might need to close your ears. Have you noticed how children come alive when you give them their favourite toy or ice cream? Have you noticed? Even I come alive when you give me ice cream. Very alive when you give me ice cream. I kind of like ice cream. What makes you come alive? Some people say, oh, music is my life, or sport is my life. If Festus was here, he'd be jumping up and down, wouldn't he, about his football. Or, I live for my work, that gives me life. What makes you come alive? Sometimes I am truly amazed what makes people come alive, and we're not going there. However, at church, why do we all act like we're at a funeral? Staid, miserable, perfunctory. What's going on? We're here worshipping the one who gives us life. And we've all got faces like, I bet if I took you to a football game, all of a sudden you'd be totally different people. You'd be jumping up and down, cheering, yelling at the referee, high-fiving, screaming, hugging, crying. I'm not saying it's wrong to celebrate at a football match, but what I'm saying is that we are created for worship. But whatever we worship, we also serve. So are we serving Manchester United? Or are we serving God? Why do we come alive at a football match, but act so dead towards the one who holds our lives together? Who sustains our every breath, who's lifted us up from the pit, who has made our cups overflow with more blessings than we could ever imagine, who gives us peace that passes all understanding, who gives us inexpressible joy, who gives us a reason for living, who is preparing a place for us in heaven. The one who lived and died to give us that place in heaven. Why are we dead to him? Why are we so often dead to him? Why do we offer him lip service instead of love? We make time to do everything, including going to football matches, other than speak to him. So what makes you come alive? Is it England? Rugby, football, cricket at the moment? Is it Arsenal, Tottenham, Manchester United? Is it Strictly Come Dancing? Is it I'm a Celebrity, Get Me Out of Here? Is it Love Island? Is it EastEnders? What is it that makes you come alive? Please say, Jesus.
Jesus.
Jesus makes us come alive. Our life is Christ. Paul said in Philippians, "For me to live is Christ, and to die is gain." Bang on, Paul. Right answer. The answer is always Jesus. But if we took those words out, Christ and gain, and left it blank for us to fill in, do you think it would say, "For me to live is money, and to die is to leave it all behind"? For me to live is fame, and to die is to be quickly forgotten. For me to live is power and influence, and to die is to lose both. For me to live is possessions, and for me to die is to depart with nothing in my hands. What will it be for you? Our life must be in Christ. It's so sad if we're living for the wrong thing. It's so sad if we're investing our time and our efforts in the wrong thing. Jesus is the guide, the path, and the destination. He is everything. Maybe today you need to pray, "Lord, cut the strings that attach me to this world and set me free. Make me alive to worship you with everything I have." Maybe that's something you could pray if you know that you're putting Manchester United above Jesus, or whatever it is that you do. Finally, we will be glorified with Christ. In the latter part of verse 4, Paul writes, "You will also appear with him in glory." Yes! Yes! That is our hope. That is our hope. 1 John 3 says, "Dear friends, we are children of God, and what we will be has not yet been made known. But we will know that when Christ appears, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is." One day, folks, you're going to be face to face with God, and you will see him as he is. There will be no more sin, no more self, no more sadness. Amazing. No more death, no more decay, no more dandruff. Hoorah! I've heard people say, "Oh, I hope Jesus doesn't come back yet because I want to get married." I'm like, you having a laugh? This world is a mess. It's so broken. Yesterday, 20 people lost their lives in America because some fool wandered around with a gun. This morning, another 5 people have lost their lives in America in a similar situation. We have children dying on our streets, being stabbed to death, 14-year-olds, 15-year-olds. Our world is broken. Or maybe you don't want to go to heaven because you think it might be just one long worship service and someone like me preaching at you all the time. But think of it this way. Imagine the most beautiful thing your eyes have ever seen, the most aromatic perfume or flowers your nose have ever smelt, the most delicious food your taste buds have tasted, ice cream, the most delicious, the delicate fabric your hands have ever held. Can you feel it? The most joy and exhilaration you have ever felt about anything. Multiply that exponentially to the nth degree. That is heaven. We will also appear with him in glory. That's what Paul says. We will be with him in glory. And what a glorious day that will be. In those four short verses, Paul lays out our identity in Christ. Clearly and succinctly, we are raised with Christ, we have died with Christ, we are secure in Christ, our life is in Christ, and we will be glorified in Christ. The outworking of our identity in Christ comes with a tremendous but. Always does, doesn't it? Another but, another however. A tremendous responsibility. Paul gives us in these four verses two commands. Well, it's really one command said twice in different ways. Firstly, seek the things that are above. And secondly, set your minds on things that are above, not on the things that are on earth. Both the words seek and set are present tense, meaning continually, always, forever, and ever, and ever, and ever, amen. We are to make our lifestyle all about heaven's priorities and to put all of our energy into it. But what does that mean to seek the things that are above? It's continually thinking, what would Jesus do? That good old WWJD. What would Jesus do? It's continued thinking, as Rose well preached this morning, my preach while she was praying again. How can I bring a bit of heaven to earth today? When you pray that Lord's Prayer, how can I bring a bit of heaven to earth today? How can I look like Christ? How can I talk like Christ? How can I act like Christ? How can I walk the walk as well as talk the talk? We are far too preoccupied with how much money we have, how our house looks, how fly we look in our outfits, or if we're keeping up with the Joneses. But to make the priorities of Jesus Christ our own would mean waking up not thinking, what do I have to do today? But thinking, who can I minister to today? Investing time in prayer and reading the Bible. Because you can only hear God's voice if you're speaking to him. Constantly thinking of the lost and those that don't know him yet and finding ways of how to reach them. Giving yourself to ministry because that is the stuff that will last. That you can take to heaven with you. Not neglecting your family for your sake of your career, but seeking to nurture them. God gave you that family for a reason. Realizing that you are just the steward, not the owner of your belongings, of everything that you have. Realizing that self-sufficiency is a deadly enemy against your relationship with Christ, as was prayed so wonderfully by Rose. Giving it to God. So what preoccupies your thinking? Are you governed by what the world thinks or what God thinks of you? What are your priorities today? Where do you find your identity? In our reading earlier, the man with lots of money and lots of belongings built a bigger barn, didn't he, to put his belongings in. But little did he know that that night God was coming for him to take him to glory. If you were standing in half an hour's time, in front of Jesus, in glory, what would he say to you? Would he say, welcome, my child? Or would he not recognize you? Do you know who you are in Christ? Are you walking the walk as well as talking the talk? Who are you? And whose are you? Paul says, since then, you have been raised with Christ. Set your heart on things above, where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things above, not on earthly things. For you have died, and your life is now hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you will also appear with him in glory. Amen. Let us pray. Lord Jesus, we thank you once again for what you did for us on the cross. We thank you for that sacrifice, for your death, for your life, for your resurrection and your ascension, which allows us to be free, which allows us to know that our sins are no more, they are nailed to that cross. But it also allows us a new life. We are raised in you. We too can be like you. And that is what you call us to do. As followers of Christ, we are called to be like you, to look like you, to talk like you, to walk like you, to serve you, to make this earth look like heaven, to bring a bit of heaven to earth in everything we do. So Jesus, help us. Holy Spirit, come now and rest upon us. Holy Spirit, change those things in our lives where we're not looking at you, where we're celebrating Manchester United, the England cricket team, or anything else other than you, Lord. Turn our hearts and our minds and our thoughts to be on you. Not just for this hour as we are here in church, Lord, but every moment of every day, waking and sleeping. Because we know that you are thinking of us every moment of every day, that you intercede for us at the right hand of the Father every moment of every day, that you are certain that we are saved. But Lord, help us to act that out. Help us to be people of Christ. Change our priorities, Lord, so that if by any chance in the next half hour we are standing in front of you, Lord, that you will recognize us. We have been raised with you, Christ. Let us set our hearts on things above. Holy Spirit, come now. Come, Holy Spirit, and fill us. Come, Holy Spirit. Come, Holy Spirit. We want to live in you. We can't just accept all the benefits and not live out our faith. Let us not be selfish like that, Lord. Pray to you for things that we want to be changed in our lives, but not pay it back. Not that you ask that of us, Lord, but don't let us be selfish followers of you. For us, to live is Christ, and to die is gain. So fill us, Holy Spirit, with that knowledge. Open our hearts and minds to what we need to do to become focused on you, centered on you, every moment of every day. In Jesus' name, amen. Stand to sing our final hymn. Take a seat for a moment. When I was researching for this sermon, I came across this news report, which I thought was, well, it moved me, and it really compounded in me how to be in Christ. So I'm going to read it to you. It says, Christa McAuliffe was one of the seven astronauts who lost their lives in the explosion of the Space Challenger on 28th of January 1986. She had been selected from among many applicants to be the first teacher in space. Her commitment to education and the space program had captured the imagination of many. At a memorial service, one teacher said, "When Christa stepped onto that shuttle, we stepped on with her. And when she died, a part of us died too." These comments about Christa remind us of a much deeper identification, the believer's spiritual union with Christ. Because of our relationship to him, we can say, when he was lifted up on that cross, we were there with him. When he died, we died. The Apostle Paul said that we died with Christ, and we were also raised with him. Therefore, in him, we are accepted and forgiven by God. What remains to be seen is whether our lives show what we really do believe. Are we when we are united with Christ in his death and resurrection? Our confession of faith must be more than a memorial statement. It must show that we have put away our old life of sin and have set our mind on things above. When he was lifted up on that cross, we were there with him. When he died, we died. Amen.